closely talk.
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on March 18th, 2007.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Tonight, we talk about 23 Minutes in Hell with author Bill Weiss. A long overdue discussion with the lovely Linda Godfrey is in order, and who knows where that's going to go. And finally, we will be closing the night out with...
Was that written down, or was that spontaneous?
It was written down.
Oh, okay, good.
And finally, we will be closing the night out with Mr. David Selap, who will be laying down some scriptural knowledge on us.
We've gone crazy.
Yeah, it's well, I think we're excited to be here.
I know I'm excited to be here.
It's really good to be back.
Last week, of course, was a conference. It was a spectacular conference.
Oh, yeah.
One
oh,
that will be repeated again next year in different formats.
Yeah.
You're making it bigger, better, and stronger.
Well, I got to thank Lori and everybody from Ghost Connection for treating us so well.
Yes.
They were totally awesome to us. We had a great time that weekend. Thank you, guys. Pictures are up on the website. Audio is up on the website. Everything you need to partially relive the wonderful experience we had at the first annual Arkansas Ghost Hunter, Ghost Hunters Conference, it's there. It's there.
Yes.
We got all kinds of good stuff up on there. By the way, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I am Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
I hate to start the show off on such a low note.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But I have to. I have to. This really needs to be said, and I'm dead serious, too. This morning, when I was at Amber's house before I came back, she talked to Chris Bailey from Grimstone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was set to go to, I guess he was supposed to go to Japan for a trip.
Okay.
Or something like that. Unfortunately, though, his father passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I actually talked to Chris earlier for a few minutes, just because he's going to be at the Supernatural Summit next month in Batavia, New York with us. So, we're trying to get things together, and we have a conference call scheduled with him this week, by the way, Doug.
Okay.
So, but I really I know, I'm so bummed about that, too, because Chris is a dear friend of a dear friend of Ghostly Talk.
He's been
a friend of ours for years.
We look up to him. We respect him. He sets an example for us that we could never live up to. We are such characters.
Therefore, we don't even try.
Yeah, well, he really is, he's organized, he's intelligent.
He's brilliant in every way.
He's a great guy.
He is
a wonderful
person. To look at, you know, what he does and how much he cares and how, you know, he pulls together any and every resource he possibly can. He goes out and finds resources for ghost hunting, for his group, for the community, and... that's an example that it sets a high bar.
Yeah, it does.
And
really,
I respect and honor him for that. And
Chris has set the standard, I think, for Michigan ghost hunting groups.
He
has for a very long time, too. That's why I was really bummed to hear that. So, Chris, you are in our thoughts. Ghostly Talk's right behind you in every single way. If there's anything you need, I don't know if he's listening or not, but he may be listening this week. Who knows? Per usual, like I told you on the phone, Chris, we love you. And if there's anything you need, please, please don't hesitate to give us a call. We're all, you know, we live like a mile away.
Right.
He's like a mile away from the winery here. So, yeah, I'm sorry to start things on such a down note, but I needed to talk about that.
Thank you.
So, Chris, like I said, thank you. You're a dear friend of ours. And if there's anything we can do here, please let us know. Let's move on.
If we can
now. I'm really bummed about that.
Ghostconnection.net.
Yes.
They had contacted us a little under a year ago and said we're going to be doing this first annual conference. And it was actually six months ago.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing our first annual conference. And I immediately said, okay, well, you know, it's in March. That's like when I was born, in March. And so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to make that a big trip. We're going to hit, because Arkansas is a hike from Detroit.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
No, it's not.
It was brutal. Man, that was a heck of a trip.
You guys, don't be wimps. That was nothing. That was like a baby trip.
Well, fortunately for our convoy that we had, the one car that we had, we broke the trip up in 2 days there and back. We stopped in St. Louis on the way down, and we stopped in Valentina or Valencia, Illinois, somewhere on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't quite as grueling as the job you guys did.
Well, we drove there in pretty much one shot, except for we had to go through Indiana.
Yeah, you guys had to
Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down to Indianapolis and picked up the rest of the contingent. And and then we had
Mrs. Sean, ladies and gentlemen.
And Misty.
And Misty.
Who is what? Miss T, M-I-S-S,
yes.
And then T
Miss
in the chat room.
Mm-hmm. Miss
and
all over my body.
Oh, my God.
Missed all over me.
Misty, you should be offended by this right now.
Where's this? You should see him where he's touching himself.
Ew.
I like that. But the
lovely area.
I'm taking the glasses off so I can't see him.
Good
anymore.
Thing we don't have a video component to Ghostly Talk. But the,
thank God.
We went and I rode with Misty from there on.
Yeah.
And the rest of the contingent was in the borrowed, and thank you to the borrower or borrowee.
Me and mommy.
Was your mom, wasn't it?
Yes, of the Explorer.
Nice truck, by the way. I mean, I didn't ride it, but I've ridden it before, and it's a very nice truck.
So you were in there, we were in Misty's car, or I was in Misty's car with Misty, and we drove the rest of the way, which seemed... first of all, I was so glad that I got to... I can't believe how little I slept, because I would have thought I would have slept almost the entire way, but Misty was, you know, we just chatted and talked and laughed and giggled, and I napped, of course, and because, you know, I'd been up and things like that. So,
yeah.
But it was long,
very long,
going across.
Even for us, it was long. It was
going
brutal.
Across Illinois took forever, and then going across
Missouri
took forever. And once you hop into Arkansas, though, it was like a hop, skip, and a
jump.
Yeah,
it wasn't too far.
And you turn on
the
expressway away.
Yeah. I know. When we were getting there, though, on Friday, it was like that last hour was just like, okay, Tim Yancey's waiting for me. The guys from GHI are waiting for me. Lori's waiting for me. I was just like jumping out of my seat wanting to just get there because, I mean, I got to mention this. It goes without saying, too. Tim Yancey.
He is the man.
Tim Yancey.
I want to have his paranormal babies. I love him.
Tim and Trish
were, they electrified this conference.
Well, the thing was is that
they were the 220 line. I'm telling you.
Well, this is something that's had to have happened between our parties for it needed to happen a long time ago, but we never had the chance to do it.
Right.
And Tim, we kind of contacted each other a few months ago, and Tim's like, I'm thinking about coming to this Arkansas conference. And the original plan, you know, Tim was just coming there to hang out. He was just coming there to meet up with us and spend our 5-year anniversary there and all this fun stuff and your birthday and all this great stuff that was going on. And, what happened was one of the speakers dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
And I did mention to Lori, I'm like, you know, Tim is working on this really cool presentation on Amityville because he worked directly with George Lutz for years. And she's like, well, you know, we could see what happened. Well, you know, as it may happen, one of the speakers dropped out and Tim was put in and he did a phenomenal job. As you'll hear, go to the archive section, download all the recordings we did. We recorded, oh, man, 5.5 hours I clocked in at after editing and all that fun stuff and making it sound pretty and all that. 5.5 hours for you, the paranormal community. It's free.
I don't know why I'm doing this.
Right.
Take it. Really cool.
Well, what also I want people to do is, as you listen to these things, hearing it on your iPods and on your iRivers and on your iThis and iThat, or on your computers,
yeah.
That's one thing. You can get the knowledge.
It doesn't
right?
do it justice.
It's
no, it
not the same as going to the events. So for a year, we've been going to these events. We've been downloading these or capturing the mm-hmm. speakers and putting them on our website.
Yeah.
And that's out there for the paranormal community. Enjoy it. We did the work. The speakers agreed, right?
Yeah,
the conference attendees agreed. Mm-hmm. Well, not the attendees, but the organizers agreed.
Yeah.
We're going to put that out there into the public domain for folks to enjoy and use.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the same as going there. I want you to listen to these things and think, how much more could I get out of these presentations if I were physically there?
Exactly.
It's a lot. It's approximately 100% more. Because being there with the people, with the speakers, enjoying it in real time like that, it's the bomb. It really is. It is a kick you cannot duplicate with your iPod.
Again, we preach it all the time here on the show, and it's just like there's nothing like getting out there and really going to one of these events and meeting people. I mean, leading people, people who are just like you, people from all different walks of life that come to these events to learn, to meet people, to network. I'm here to network with people. But, you know, that's what you're doing for networking.
It sounds like a Mary Kay convention.
I know. It's Go ahead.
Send me a pink Cadillac. But anyway.
Call us.
Call us. But no, what happens is that this particular conference, I want to talk just briefly about the paranormal occurrences.
Oh,
because this one was held. Now, here's the thing. The Northwest Arkansas Ghost Hunters, it's ghostconnection.net.
Yeah.
These guys have a hookup, okay? They have this ancient, it's not Gothic. It's some kind of, I can't describe the architecture. I know it.
I'd say it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. Hotel in there, you know, around where they live. This hotel, the Crescent Hotel mm-hmm. in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. I put the Doug Haunted stamp of approval, right? Not haunted by Doug, not yet. That maybe where I'll live.
That almost happened.
Later.
But that almost happened the first night and second night.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, it is not. It has the haunted stamp of approval of Doug of Ghostly Talk. This thing is haunted as all get out.
Well, why is that, Doug?
Yes, please tell us.
No, seriously.
Was this scripted?
This whole show is scripted.
Yeah, I know. I'm reading off the teleprompter as we speak. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, from the very get-go, right?
Yeah.
First of all, this hotel put a tension in the air between people. I acted not within my normal character. Several other people noticed that there was tension. But I pretty much was affected by whatever this was. And I couldn't believe it. You see,
that's your excuse, huh?
Yeah, that's my excuse.
That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
All right.
No, the door was left open. The very first thing, the door was left open.
Well, yeah. I hit you up with that one. I said,
Scott tells me the door to the haunted penthouse was left wide open.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's irresponsible. It's not happening again. I can't believe these people left all of my stuff and all of their own stuff in the room.
All that S&M gear just laying around.
I know.
And somebody could take
it. Who opened my bag?
And you know that's valuable stuff.
Leather masks, whips, all this good stuff.
Cattails.
You know what a good set of cattails cost these days?
Well, yes. It depends on who made them. Yes.
That was a dumb question. Jeez.
Yes.
All right, I'm shutting up.
I'm telling you, it's all of our stuff was in the room. The room door was left wide open. Mm-hmm. Scott comes and says, the room door was left wide open. I'm like, okay, well, so I went around and, like an idiot, mm-hmm. I made a fool of myself, and I told folks that they obviously cannot be trusted. This is like absolutely insane. You guys are supposed to be, you know, adults, and I'm acting like an adult, but it turned out it was like reversed because nobody left the door open. The hotel has a problem, I think, with doors.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a living human anyway. They reconstructed the events, and it turns out that we know who the last person was, and he has a witness that the door was closed.
And locked.
And, well,
and
it
automatically
always
locked.
Oh, yeah, those doors do automatically. Yeah, they auto-lock. Remember that? Our door did the same thing.
That wouldn't be the first case of arriving at a room with the door open.
Because the same thing happened the next day with a different room.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
So, our doors just did not stay closed. So if you wanted anything of ours, you could have taken, you know, Ghostly Talk Dog's underwear anytime you wanted. Just walk into the room.
That's in demand.
Get on eBay. I'm auctioning off several pairs.
Right. bring it up to the table. I'll sign them for you.
there's good money in that stuff, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm so scared right now.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you what.
There's plenty of canvas.
You too. Look at this new bra I got for my car. Sorry.
Anyways, later on that night.
Yeah, let Doug get his composure. I'm going to kill Doug's track right now.
Misty, Sean, and I.
All right, go ahead. It's all right, go ahead.
Misty, right. Sean, and I were the only people in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were all just sitting around chit-chatting. It has been dubbed The Penthouse That the 70s Forgot by Alyssa and Danielle.
Good.
Yeah.
And
the chain bed. Ooh,
yeah,
the ceiling.
It was scary, but we were all sitting around in the room and, mm-hmm. you know, just BSing like we normally do. And all of a sudden, Misty is just staring off into space, and I'm like, Misty, what are you staring at? So I turn to look where she's looking, and there's this bush thing over in the corner. I don't know, some sort of plant. And it is just swaying back and forth as if someone had just walked through it.
Okay.
There was no air on in the room. The heat wasn't on in the room.
Yeah, the ventilation wasn't very good in that hotel.
Well, no. Neither was the showers.
My sinuses told me.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyways, so that happened, and then a couple minutes later, Misty saw a shadow walking towards the stairs up to the bedroom.
Really?
Yeah, apparently someone wanted to nap with Doug.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what else happened, Doug? You're back now. Your composure is back.
We go to the second room the second night.
Yeah.
Oh, and Will heard voices up in the loft area where the bed was.
Mm-hmm.
He thought the girls were up there, you know, because it is quite a view. If you lay across the bed, you can look out these little slot windows, and they go around in a semicircle. And you can just see, it's just absolutely incredible. That's in the penthouse. And but he thought the girls were up there. He runs upstairs. Nope. No girls.
Wow.
Then we go to the second room the second night. Of course, the door's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I did go down with Gowan and Nick to the front desk and say, why would the door be left open? And they're like, we don't do that. We don't leave the door open. So it wasn't the hotel that left the door open. The door was just open when we got there. And so we throw our stuff in the room. Sean went into the bathroom, and that's when he saw the creepy picture.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, of course, notoriously haunted room 218. This is one of the most famous haunted rooms in any hotel in America. And it's haunted by a worker who had fallen to his death right there where that room is while the hotel was being constructed. And so... So then we discover you can sneak out the window and go onto the balcony.
Mm.
And so we all snuck out the window, and we come back in, and Nathan went into the bathroom and says, who left the water on?
Oh.
It wasn't on. Well, it was on when he got in there. And by that time, we had shut the door, so nobody snuck in and turned the water on and then snuck out.
Yeah.
So it was... It was a fairly controlled situation. There was only Sean, Nathan, and myself there, and somehow the water got turned on in the bathroom.
A lot of people talked about weird stuff. I talked to a lot of people, you know.
GHI, in that same room.
Yep.
And those guys aren't fooled very easily.
No, they're not.
Misty got EVP in that room.
Yes, Misty got EVP in that room. Gowan had seen a phantom arm from under the bed.
He mentioned that, yeah.
And so I had the chance to call him this past week, And I chatted with him, and I said, you know, the phantom arm thing, you know. He's like, Doug, I can count the number of times I've seen or claimed to have seen a phantom arm on one finger. It just does not happen to me. Mm-hmm. And so we do believe that that was extremely paranormal. It's just not a, you know, it's not normal. So I'm telling you that that hotel is a go-to destination for ghost hunters. It, you know, whether you stay in room 218 or not, I heard stories from all over the hotel that weekend.
Just make sure that you are well-rested when you arrive.
Fly XNA and rent a car.
Dude, I didn't stop.
Do not drive there from Detroit. Do not drive there from Florida.
Don't drive there from St. Louis. we got there and... It's a reoccurring thing with these conferences. I mean, every conference we go to now, there's always somebody there that we're dying to meet finally after all these years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just people we've been talking with and stuff back and forth. I blow in there in my usual fashion, run in there like, you know, like Napoleon. Go down, blah! And I just start running around. Going, okay, we need this there. We need this there. We need this there. We need this there. Get this thing over there. I need a table over here. I need a cover on this table. I need this.
Tear down this wall. Put up a...
Yeah, exactly,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So here comes Lori. Hey, Scott, how you doing? Nice to meet you. We'll talk later. Get the hell out of my way. Run over there. Take care of this. Take care of that. Take care of that. I'm down there putting the board together, putting the, you know, wiring everything up, doing this, blah, blah, blah. You guys are at the airport or something like
that. Yeah, we were at Bob's Airport Bar and Grill.
Yeah. Yep. So you guys were MIA for that time. And I'm sitting there working away, trying to get things to work, blah, 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 blah. Oh, crap, don't work again. Okay, great, great, great. Here comes Tim Yancey. Hey, Scott, how you doing? Tim, oh, my God. Hug him. I'll talk to you in a bit. Back into what I'm doing. So that's pretty much like what my weekend was.
Your weekend was constant.
It was awesome, though. Because we got, I mean, again, there's the output. It's on the site. That's what I'm proud of. I'm really happy about that. All these things are up there for people to listen to.
The information is up there. It's there for you.
I do want to go back to the Crescent, though, and really spend the weekend like on my own and just chill.
Wouldn't it be interesting to like have cheesecake in a hotel room at the Crescent? I mean, just...
You know what was really good is to get a massage at the Crescent.
That was awesome.
Oh, you and Amber went down there.
Me, Amber, and Misty all went girly, and we all went down to the spa and got massages, and that was the best thing I could have done all weekend.
I didn't see much of a difference myself.
It made me not want to kill you, Scott.
I think we had a fine weekend together, Bonnie.
Actually, we didn't see each other much.
No, that's
so
why we had a fine weekend.
Best weekend ever.
That's why we had such a great weekend, because we didn't see each other.
But I have to say, we had our new T-shirts. Everyone loves the new T-shirts.
Bunch of admin things. I want to throw that out. The new T-shirts.
We have to thank your friend James.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
James designed the new ghost.
Don't look at me. James Hunt, love you. You are the man.
James was the guy, and this is what I'm proud of about the new T-shirts. We're going to be putting them up on the site for order pretty soon here once the model does all her modeling stuff. Thank you again, Laura. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put that up there for people to check out. If you were at the conference, actually on the homepage, there's a design. The design is up on the homepage.
The design
right
is
now.
On the homepage.
I'm so proud to say, and I was talking with Marcus Leader about this the other day, too. We were on the phone, and I'm like, yeah, we got new T-shirts, man. He's like, oh, well, what do they look like? I'm like, dude, they're so two-dimensional. It's sick. I love it. Because they are. The design was hand-drawn. It was hand-drawn, scanned, sent to us, and we did a couple of mods to it on Photoshop and whatnot. But basically, the whole thing was hand-drawn.
Yes.
Okay, you'll never see that done anymore, I don't think. Well, we put that on the shirt.
And the challenge...
I still have the pencil drawing of it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the challenge? Because the challenge was, it was like, take this ghost.
This is precisely the instructions that I gave him.
What's that?
I said, we want a ghost, kind of cartoony, not scary, not childlike, with a microphone. That's it.
He did it.
Thank you, Jim.
He did it. He pulled it off. And it's just very simple. And that's what, I mean, the longer we do this show, I think, the more simple we try to do things, I think. We don't want to complicate things. The site hasn't changed that drastically over the last 5 years. It's still the same simple design, as simple as we can keep it with all the stuff that's up on there now. We try to keep it as simple as possible. And we wanted the shirts to reflect that, too. That's who we are. That's what I think. That's why I was so geeked about seeing that, going, man, this is what we're all about right here. You know, I mean, I love graphics. I appreciate the artwork and all that stuff, but... It just isn't what we do here. It's more laid back, I think, and it's more two-dimensional.
And James nailed it.
James totally
absolutely nailed what we were looking for without even That's a true artist. Because I don't know how I would have been able to come up with
that.
He did
it. He brought our Bob.
Bob
is that
the
his
ghost.
Name?
Bob is the old ghost.
Bob is the old ghost.
We've named the new ghost James in honor of James.
James. Yeah. Okay, so it's James the second in honor of James.
Yes.
So James is alive now. Bob metamorphosized
into
Butterfly
and
James.
Bob is on the front of the shirt. James is on the
back.
Yeah,
okay, so we got them both on there. So, yeah, thank you, James. Those will be up on the site for sale very, very soon. Just give us a little bit of time on that. I just want to throw out, again, with the Arkansas Conference last weekend, let's see if I can go through the list without forgetting anybody. Lori, of course. Everybody from Ghost Connection, I have a horrible memory. I can't remember anybody's name. But thank you all for treating us so well. Everybody was so great to us.
I have to say there's someone else who did a lot of work.
Who's
for that?
That
conference. And Josh and Bryson.
Oh, yes. God.
They did pretty much all the
audio.
He
ran himself to death.
Yeah.
Poor
Josh.
From Parazone Radio.
Parazone Radio.
Yeah.
They took on this conference like troopers,
mm-hmm.
and Josh was all over the place.
He worked his butt off. It was an honor meeting Josh.
It certainly was. He really took the technical end of the conference as
his
own.
Did a fine job, too.
And there was the one little thing the first night. The audio was spectacular, but the video was not working. When did he have time to figure it out and fix it?
I think he spent
between
the whole
then and the next day.
I don't know.
And because the next day everything was nailed.
Nailed it,
you know. And I'm like, how did he have time to figure this out and do it?
Exactly.
I mean, but he did. He really took the technical end of the conference as his own, and he owned it, and he pulled it off.
Yep,
and
great job, Josh.
You know, Josh, that's
means
awesome.
It means a lot to all of us.
Really does.
Lori, Josh, John Zappas, Rosemary, Troy Taylor.
Who I harassed all weekend.
God, who else was there? I can't.
Alyssa, Danny.
Alyssa, all of our friends from Ghost Geeks, all those great guys.
GHI.
Oh, my
Colin,
God.
Sean, and Nick. Misty.
It was such a pleasure to meet Nick finally, too. He's a real GQ, isn't he?
Oh, my God.
I've seen some of these pictures of him, dude. He's, like, just doing this, like, you know, lip thing. And I'm like, even Amber's like, yeah. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. But, yeah, Nick's a real GQ, I got to say. He looked good.
I'd like to thank Spider-Man/Venom.
Oh, the lap dance. I can't believe we didn't mention
that. And
all
the Batman.
Site for the pictures. You'll see them.
I don't know who they were.
They made a special guest appearance that night for Doug's birthday up in the Haunted Penthouse.
Of course, their secret identity is still secret because I have no clue. They just ran in. They, you know, did this birthday thing for me and then ran out, and I never saw them
crazy.
The entire rest of the conference.
And we were just sitting there minding our own business, and these two guys just blew into the penthouse, went nuts, and ran out.
It was absolutely crazy. I don't know how that happened.
One more quick thing before we go to break. I'm saying right now, because we haven't really discussed this yet, I'm going to say right now it's an 80% chance we're going to be broadcasting next weekend.
Okay.
It's an 80% chance. I'm going to hopefully find out for sure everything this week, tonight after the show. But we're not scheduled to broadcast
next
weekend, may be doing a show. One more thing, too. This old table we're on right now, you can hear it.
Yeah.
This is our last week.
With this old table.
Broadcasting on this old table.
Can't wait. Then we'll be in an ugly colored room.
That'll bring a new dimension.
Yeah, Bonnie just lost her channel.
Oh, Bonnie's channel's gone.
I can talk loud enough.
We're moving into the new studio finally. All the equipment's here. Everything's here. We have to assemble a few more things. But this is our last week in the corner of the Haunted Winery. It's actually going to be our own. We built the studio for it.
It'll be kind of sad to come in here and not see all this crap here.
Yeah, it's going to really, really suck for me.
What are we going
to do? Yeah, it is going to be horrible.
All this
for
crap
you.
Laying around the living room.
Discotheque right here.
Yeah.
That's where he's putting the stripper pole right there.
The stripper pole. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This would be awesome.
But
that's Scott's new workout.
I'm actually considering putting one of those elliptical bikes here, as a matter of fact. In all seriousness, I'm thinking about buying a new bike and, just, you know, whatever. But we're moving into the new studio. Hopefully next weekend will be the first weekend we do that. We'll broadcast from the new studio here at the Haunted Winery. Looking forward to that.
Coming up next.
Wow.
23 Minutes in Hell, much like this show. And
actually, about 26 Minutes in Hell.
It's going to be Bill Weiss. Then after that, of course, the incredible Linda Godfrey of... who wrote Haunted Michigan and Haunted Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to that.
And then David Seeloff is coming on AskELM.com. So Bill's coming up next. I can't wait, so let us go to break, and we'll be right back.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Lama, Isis, Baal. What do all of these ancient gods have in common with each other? They're all going down. World of the Unexplained. Conservative paranormal talk. Big on God. Big on guns. Our God can beat up your God.
Phenomenon that we can't explain. Voices that reach out from the darkness. Events you have to experience to believe. Learn more about the world of the paranormal at the Supernatural Summit, April 13th through the 15th in Batavia, New York. Over 30 workshops from paranormal experts, a trade show, and psychic fair, plus much more. For more information, go to supernaturalsummit.com or call 585-399-7765.
SupernaturalSummit.com.
Ian, how would you like your own Talking to the Dead show?
Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
This was not a dream, but rather a supernatural experience. Every day, people experience dreams and visions. Some are nonsense, while others can have a dramatic effect on history and on our personal lives. In his new book, 23 Minutes in Hell, author and speaker Bill Weiss?
Yeah.
Okay. Experienced a life-altering vision that can only be explained as supernatural, that has changed his view on visions and dreams forever. His website is www.23minutesinhell.com. Welcome, Bill, to Ghostly Talk.
What happened?
And because we told you, you know, relax, and
right.
As if we're at a party. And I have a feeling if we were not, like, technically connected via phones and stuff like that, we would probably be looking at you with our eyes wide open. And if you can picture question marks over our head, right?
I can imagine, yeah.
And in amazement. Bill,
yeah.
What happened?
Right, and I can understand why you would think that way. I would also. And if I may just preface that with one comment.
Sure.
This was something that I was very uncomfortable sharing because I'm pretty conservative as a person. So to share something seemingly as wild as this, you know, I really didn't like doing it. So I only shared it with one close friend 8 years ago when it happened, and it spread from there. And about 2.5 years ago, the publisher came to us because they heard me speak someplace and asked me to write the book. So they had come to us. It's not something I really wanted to ever self-promote because of this. But yet, I've gone ahead and spoken about it because of the severity of this message and the warning that I really felt God gave me to give people. So that's why I'm able to share it. But anyway, what it is it was a vision. I didn't die. It was an out-of-body experience that comes under the classification of a vision in the Bible. Now, anybody can have dreams or visions. Some visions are just from your own heart. Others can be from God. And the difference in a dream and a vision, you can travel in a vision. Okay, so you can actually travel to another a destination where God would take you. It's not astral projection. It's where God takes you out of your body to someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened to me. And, you know, I came home like any other normal night from actually a prayer meeting that we'd go to Sunday night. Went to bed like any normal night. And at 3:00 in the morning, I was picked up, taken out of my body, and dropped off in a prison cell in hell. No explanation. I was fully awake and cognizant. I have no idea how I got there. There was no explanation given until the way back. So this is where I found myself. And anyway, there's different places in hell. There's pits of fire, large open areas of fire, and there's actual prison cells, like you would imagine a prison. You know, rough-hewn stone walls and bars on the door. So that's where I was, and the temperature was far beyond the ability to sustain life. I wondered, why am I alive? How did I get here? How can I be living through this heat? But yet, I was alive in this heat. This is where it started, okay? So there's a lot of things I can tell you. I know we don't have much time, but there were demonic creatures in this cell, these beast-like creatures that can torment you. I noticed I had no physical strength in my body at all. I could every effort was to move was took tremendous effort. The smell, the stench from these demons and the sulfur smell, real strong sulfur smell, was terrible. You could hardly breathe, and I didn't want to breathe, you know, because it was toxic. And I wondered, why am I not dead from the air? It's so toxic.
Yeah.
It should kill me. But yet you keep going. You don't die from that either. I was so thirsty, just like I felt like I'd been there 23 weeks and hadn't had a drink of water, burning in this heat. I don't know how that could be in only 23 minutes, but desperately thirsty just for a drop of water. I wanted quiet. It was so loud with people screaming at the top of their lungs in agony. Other people that were being tormented in other areas. All these things that I found I was having to endure. And these creatures, they were just cursing God, talking amongst themselves, blaspheming, cursing God. I didn't know why, but their hatred toward me. And I wondered why. What have I done to them? But they just picked me up, threw me into the wall like I weighed nothing. And I felt bones break. I felt pain and so forth. So you do feel literal pain in hell. Anyway, I was taken out of that cell, placed over next to a big area of fire, large area of open fire, where I could see people burning in the fire. I mean, it's really terrible to see somebody burning, you know, in flames. And I viewed that and saw the people screaming, but they're alive in this heat and flames. Demons pushing them back into the flames, tormenting them. People were being tortured and beaten. There were snakes and worms and maggots and every disgusting thing you would never want to see. That's what exists in hell, all different sizes and shapes of these creatures. They all had a hatred for you. No mercy, could tear you apart and have no mercy for it. And these are all things that you have to endure in this place. So this is where I found myself.
Well, Bill, real quick question for you. So I thought this was interesting. You said that in this place they were calling hell, it was a prison. It was built like a prison we see on TV, or we've been to a few of them, you know, personally. Mm-hmm. It makes me think, like, okay, we have prisons in hell, okay? We have prisons here on Earth in this physical plane of existence we have. Could it be, I mean, is there some type of connection between those two? Did somebody back in the day have an experience like you had, maybe, of hell and came back and said, well, this is what we need to do to punish the wrongdoers here on Earth? I'm wondering if there's some type of gel or glue that make these two things work together. I mean, it's an observation, more or less.
Yeah, right. That's an interesting observation. I never really had anybody ask me that. But well, first of all, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for man. So God made hell. That's where it first came from. So man, you know, on his own came up after that with putting people in prisons. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there's a similarity, that there's prison cells, I know what you're trying to say, but, but there's different places of torment in hell. Like I said, there's large open areas of fire, there's individual prison cells. I didn't see a big building because it's pitch black in hell. It was only light in the cell for about 30 seconds. I believe God's presence, so he could let me describe it to you, everybody, what it looked like. Otherwise, I wouldn't have seen anything and in the cell, but I could see the walls and the bars. So I didn't see a building, per se, but it was like stone walls, like you'd imagine. And then over next to the pit of fire, it was only light a little bit to see the desolate, barren wasteland. There's nothing, no green tree, no green life of any kind. It's just rock, barren cavern. But the light from the flames didn't travel very far. It wouldn't light up the area like it would here, like normally on the earth. Mm-hmm. It just didn't travel, but it lit up just a little bit by the flames. So I could see again, just, you know, people burning in this pit of fire. So I don't know the correlation, like you were saying, but there are prison cells.
It's an interesting observation, though. You know?
It is.
And I'm glad that you asked the question because we got to learn more. It sounds like there may be some kind of bizarre non-earthly physics going on in this place because of the light, you know, the lack of light and the fact that light does not travel or extend. It just sort of, you know, glows a teeny bit.
And physics are a little bit different there.
Yeah. I wonder, though, what you've described does sound like a pretty standard depiction of hell.
Well, yeah.
Have you read through or had you previously read through Dante or any, other standard depiction?
Right, it's a good question. Actually, no, I have never read anything on the subject. I've been a Christian 37 years, but I never studied the topic of hell. I never even looked really at the scriptures in the Bible about it. It's just a topic I never cared about. I figure I'm a Christian, I'm not going there, I don't need to know about it. And that's how most of us think.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I've read all these accounts of people that have been there, and like Dante's Inferno and all the different things that we've all heard. Now I've read it to study the subject. But before that, no, prior to that, I didn't. I've never studied anything. And it's interesting, I even found a book by John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, the most famous book ever written. he was given a vision of heaven and hell, and he was escorted by an angel through hell. And he wrote a book called Visions of Heaven and Hell. So he's a credible guy that wrote about it, and he saw the same things, prison cells, people being tormented, the stench. He knew it was down deep in the earth and so forth. So there's other people that have experienced it, not just myself. And have most that I've encountered have said about the same things.
This is interesting.
But it really literally exists, and it's a literal place. It's not just a metaphorical idea or a state of the soul. It is a literal geographical location in the center of the earth right now, and that's where it's at, and it's real literal burning fire, not metaphorical. It's real fire.
And where you said the center of the earth? I mean, the center of this
right.
planet.
Right, that's where it's at right now. After Judgment Day in the Bible, it'll be cast into the lake of fire in outer darkness. Okay, but that's after everything's all over. Right now, it's down in the center of the earth, according to the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you go by the Bible, which I do. But these are all scriptures I have found after I returned. You know, so everything I'm telling you is already in the Bible. I'm not making up anything. It's already there. But I I'm not here to beat people over the head with the Bible, just to tell them, hey, it's really true what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's hard for me to go share this because I'm a businessman. I have a real estate company, and I'm not a preacher. And you know, it's uncomfortable, for people to think you're crazy that you're telling them this. But it's just not a message of condemnation. It's a message of warning to let people know, hey, check it out for yourself. The Bible's true what it said. This place really exists, you know, and we should investigate these kind of things because we're all going to die one day, you know. And, I mean, if you go to Europe on a vacation, you check out the hotels, the restaurants, you want them, everything about it just for a vacation. But yet people don't check out eternity, you know, after they're going to die. And that you could spend eternity there. So I just encourage people to research it. I'm just a signpost to point people to the Bible, to what it has to say is true. God doesn't want anyone to go there. He didn't make it for man. It's not his intent for man to go there. But man has to make a choice here in this life. Just like we all have to make choices about everything, there's a choice. And there's only one way to stay out of there. That's knowing Jesus.
Depending on how far, I don't want to ask too much, but as far as the physics of this place you were in, you said there was demons and all these things around there. Obviously, lots of people have, when you say the word demon, right?
Right.
Lots of ideas come to mind with it, with anybody who you're telling it to.
Sure.
So to say. What did you see, I mean, as far as what these things look like?
Well, they're in the shape of a man, reptilish in appearance, like bumps and scales all over their bodies. Rough skin, you know, with real big bumps, huge claws, big teeth. I know it sounds like I'm just painting a picture of a monster, but that's what they are. I mean, they're ferocious looking, very stout and powerful, and evil. There's no symmetry to their bodies. Everything's twisted, deformed, one leg shorter than the other, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And an evilness about them like you wouldn't believe. You know, and we've seen some evil, you know, in life here. We've seen people on the TV, like in the terrorists, saw people's heads off. I mean, how vicious and mean is that? Well, that kind of evilness comes from the devil. And that these demons exist down there. And they hate man, and they want to torment man, just like you see terrorists that torment people. So that's where that comes
from. And, you know, there's always been this idea in regards to terrorism, and we've all seen these horrendous videos that have been crammed down our throats. You can't go anywhere without seeing this. I mean, it's not something I really care to see, honestly.
Well,
right.
Actually, I have an interesting question. Is, I think, and what's really bugging me now is, obviously the terrorism is from a perversion of Islam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a perversion of their of some because they're all doing it in the name of religion. They're
well,
like, you know,
course,
we are right, you are not.
That's the ultimate scapegoat.
Muhammad this, Muhammad that. You know, but I'm telling you, it's a perversion of an accepted worldwide religion.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, one of the three primary religions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible then, because if that religion can be perverted to that extent, is it possible that the United States is primarily Christian, right?
Yeah.
So that's the primary religion here in the United States and Canada. And obviously, though, we you know, have religious freedoms and things like that, but pretty much it's Christian. So if is there a way to pervert even our own seemingly stable Christianity to that extent?
Well, there can be perversions, but I don't believe to that extent. And, you know, in the Bible, Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruits. I mean, if you're claiming to be a Christian and godly, then you're not going to act in such a manner of such evilness. You're going to act in love and forgiveness and long-suffering and peace and joy. These are the things that are going to reflect God's personality, not viciousness and meanness and no mercy. That's opposite. That's the devil. You see, so if it's a perversion, you'll recognize it. That's not from God. If it's not responding in that way, in a love manner.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the terrorists are doing this. I wonder if people going and visiting hell, mm-hmm. and coming back and out of body, and then coming back and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
If what really scares me, Bill, is that your description is so incredibly similar to other descriptions.
Well, yeah.
Because that lends so much credibility that it just frightens me to the core. That saw something that other people have experienced in some way.
Right.
Throughout a divine inspiration or through, being taken there by an angel or however it happened, people have experienced the same thing you have experienced. And so you experience this thing. Are people going there and then coming back and talking about it because of the still this possibility that social groups of humans can become perverted? And they're telling the terrorists, that you get all these 72 virgins and it's all wonderful and it's all, honeysuckle afterwards. But meanwhile, they're sawing people's heads off. And so they don't seem to see that this act, which seems so obviously non-godly, non-pious, is a perverted act. It is an immoral act. It is an incorrect act, and it is not a religious act. So something has perverted their thinking, and I'm scared that something could pervert others.
Well, that's
thinking
very
as well.
Simple. And what's the ideology behind that too?
So maybe angels and God and whoever are giving us these visions of hell to say, hey, do not listen to these perversions. Do not give in to these perversions. They're just not. They're just, those are fake.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is what waits
right.
you. I don't
exactly.
know. That's a huge question.
That's a good point. I know what you're saying. But the point is, God he doesn't want anyone to go there, but it does exist. But most people think that, if I'm a good person, then I won't go there, and if I'm a bad person, I will. That's pretty much the general thinking on the criteria on how to get into heaven or how to stay out of hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, God also wants us to know that that's not the criteria that determines how you go to heaven or how you stay out of there, stay out of hell. It's not based on that, because on our own opinion, we're probably pretty good people, okay? You figure I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah.
But that's not the standard we're judged by. God's standard is way higher than ours, so none of us can make it on our own. That's the point we have to make it to people, to let them know, hey, it's not how good you are, because your good is, according to God, he says your good is filthy rags to me, okay? Your best day is filthy to me. So you're not going to get into heaven by saying I'm pretty good, because God's standard is if you ever one time lie, just one lie in your life, you're not good enough for heaven. Or one time steal something, or one time lust after a woman, or any of these things, one time, then that excludes you. Well, that's all of us. We're all in that boat, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So God says, okay, I'll send my son to die in their place, because the penalty for that sin is death. It's pretty severe, right? Like if you speed, you got a ticket, you got to pay the fine. Well, the fine for sin is death. But God said, I'll die in your place. And I'll count you believing that, having faith in me, I'll count that as righteousness. You see, he'll count it as that we're righteous now, like we're good enough. Okay, he'll take it to mean that. So all we have to do is repent, be humble enough to admit we're a sinner, and say, hey, I can't make it on my own. I blow it every day. But I believe that, God, you sent your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for me so that I could live in heaven. That's all That's the criteria to enter into heaven. And I'm not here to beat you over the head with scripture.
No,
man.
That's cool.
I'm just going to give you one, okay? Just one.
Right, no problem.
Just one, and it'll explain to people. John 14:6. Jesus just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So he's the only way, and it's a narrow way. So, you know, people think, hey, Bill, all those religions, and you're saying that that's the only way? That's pretty narrow-minded of you. Right? That's another thing people think about Christianity. That's narrow-minded. But, you know, it's like, Scott, if you invited me over to dinner at your house and you said, hey, Bill, go south on 95, turn right on Bristol, and go up the hill, you come to my house. Mm-hmm. And I said, Scott, you know what? I'm going to go north on 95 and get off at MacArthur because I think all roads lead to your house. You'd say, Bill, you're not going to get to my house. You'd say that. And I'd say, well, the same thing. God says, I'm giving you clear directions to my house, you guys. If you want to come live with me, I think I know where I live. Follow my directions, you'll get there. If you don't, you won't get there. It's just that simple. So
well, I think
God gave us directions.
I think a lot of the ideas that you're putting forth too, Bill, I think a lot of them have really been instilled in society as a whole, as in, you know, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't, you shouldn't do acts of perversion, anything. I mean, we know all the horrible things, right? And one of the things you did say, you know, in my opinion, it isn't all always about, you know, there's all these different belief systems. We know that. There's all different types of religions out there. But I think a lot of it comes down to, and one of the big things you said was, you know, look, admit that you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that's a real moot point for, well, I should say moot point. It's a real soft point.
It's a tough thing for a lot of people to do.
It's a tough thing for a lot of people to do, to go, look, okay, I messed up here. What can I do to fix the situation? I deal with these situations myself, it seems like, on a daily basis. And I've really tried hard. I'm still trying hard to go, yeah, I was wrong, man. Let's try to work this thing out, okay? What can I do to make this better, right? And that's a, I think that's one of the biggest hurdles people in general. I know it's a broad statement to say, but I think people in general have the hardest time just saying, hey, look, I made a mistake here. I screwed up. What can I do to fix this problem?
And you see, there's no other religion out there that anyone claims that they died for them other than Jesus. Mm-hmm. None of others say, hey, I'm dying for your sin. The only one is Jesus that claims that, and that there's evidence, proof, that he did die, that he existed, and that he died, and he rose again. That's historical. There was 500 witnesses to all that. So that's the only religion that can claim that, you know. And it's a simple thing, but if people would just believe it, and they'd end up in heaven. If you don't want to believe it, then God's telling you, hey, I'm not sending anybody to hell. I'm telling you how to stay out. Okay, you want to follow my directions, just stay out. You don't want to listen, then that's where you go. There's only two places made for the soul. You know, heaven or hell. There's no other place that exists. So if you deny him, then you don't get to go to his house. And then you end up the only other place that exists, hell. And the other thing that's so terrible about hell, besides the torments, like I said, you never get to sleep, you never get to eat, you never get to drink, you don't get to be with people either. You're denied that, you're isolated from people forever. And the worst part is that you understand that you'll never get out. Ever. You grasp eternity there, that time never ends, you'll be here forever in torment. And that's really terrible, I'm telling you. It's so awful to even imagine that. So that's why the urgency now, I feel like, you know, I got to at least tell people, I don't really care if they believe me. It's not important they believe me. It's important they believe the Bible. That's what's true. And I'm just here to tell people, hey, it's true. You check it out for yourself. And that's my job, is just to go tell people.
Absolutely,
you know?
Fascinating,
yes,
Bill. And
yes.
And you have the book, 23 Minutes in Hell.
We have a copy, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is available at 23 Minutes.
Yeah. I'm stealing it.
Oh, Bonnie's getting it, evidently. And your website is www.23minutesinhell.com.
It's .org.
.org? Did I put .com on here?
Scott messed up.
Shame.
That's okay. That's okay.
I did it again.
And it's at... Walmart and all the stores.
In my ever-going quest for perfection, I still make mistakes, too.
Well, that's it. We're only human.
Exactly.
So.
There you go.
But I have to say thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
For your patience with us.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, thank you, guys. We're going to be out your way in April. We're going to be in Detroit.
Really?
Really close by.
Drop us.
Well, we should keep in contact.
Yeah, have dinner.
Can you get a thing from him? Or it's probably on your website, too, right, Bill? But...
No, it's not there yet. We're just building our website, so we only got the splash page up yet.
Yeah.
It'll be up soon, but we'll be there April 29th. speaking at a church there Sunday morning.
Oh, that is
great.
So
yeah, we'll definitely keep in contact. Maybe we can get together and
I think
hang
that's
out.
A great idea. I like that idea.
Sounds great. Bill, yeah. We do have to go to break, though, unfortunately. But thank you again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. It was really a really interesting conversation.
Thank you guys so much
no,
for having
thank
me.
You.
I really
appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity. Again.
Hang on the line for one second, okay? Just hang on the line for one second.
All right.
Guys,
this
is Ghostly
thanks.
Talk. That was Mr. Bill Weiss talking about... Whew, God.
I know.
Deep.
Why did I get warmer? Everything,
very
everything feels warmer in here now.
I know. It feels about like 4.7 million degrees.
Oh.
Coming up, Linda Godfrey. We're going to be talking about weird Michigan and weird Wisconsin and the Beast of Bray Road.
Speaking of demons.
We've got one coming up. You guys, until then, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned.